Dear Jesus, tonight is all about you. And Lord, I know Satan would love to just tear your night apart where we wouldn't even be able to focus on you. But I don't think that's your plan tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would just use me, use all of us in here in this room, Lord. Open our hearts to hear from your word as we worship tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. The Christmas story. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't said it yet. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. I haven't said that yet. Luke chapter 2. I love Christmas time because unique things start to happen around Christmas time, you know? New drinks appear at Starbucks. I always like that. Alex cut his hair. Missing school because of snow. That was pretty sweet, right? Yeah? Except... it's really weird because everybody, we have like a park right across the street from our house. Everybody went out there and made these gigantic snowmen. And today it looks like a snowman graveyard. They're all like toppled over and dead in the park. Kind of made me sad. But you know, we have winter break. Selfish people pretend to care about you around Christmas time. You know, people start wearing Christmassy things and watching movies that you only watch in December. And people chop down trees and put them up in their living room. And we see more elves, and that's always good. Actually, I read about a new gift that you can buy, put out by Burger King, their new cologne called Flame. Burger King. The scent of seduction with a hint of flame-broiled meat. Let me tell you, this is a real cologne, okay? This is a real cologne. And it only costs $3.99 at Burger King, so you need to get that. I would love to have that. Okay, Christmas time's a lot of fun. You know, parents allow their kids to sit on this old fat guy's lap, and displays of animals appear maybe around your house. My mother-in-law used to collect nativities. I don't think she does anymore. She literally used to have over 100 nativity sets set up all over her house. You can ask Jen sometime when you see her. You like almost could not sit down in her house because you'd be sitting on like a donkey or something, you know? They were everywhere. It was crazy. It's the only time throughout the year that donkeys like randomly appear around my house because Emery likes to play with our nativity set and just carry the pieces around. Last night I got up after I was sitting on the couch and I looked down and I apparently had been sitting on baby Jesus. So thankfully he survived. Actually, Emery likes to walk around with baby Jesus. She gets him and she carries him around like this and she sings Jesus Loves You to Jesus. To baby Jesus. So I don't know if she thinks he's schizophrenic or what, but she sings Jesus Loves You to baby Jesus. Anyways, lots of awesome stuff happens around Christmas time. I love it. But here's the danger. With all of the snow and with all of the presents and with all of the everything that happens around Christmas time, a lot of times people have so many parties and things to go to and things to do and things to get stressed out about that all of that stuff distracts them from where the party is really at. And tonight we're going to look at, well, that's not it. Tonight we're going to look at how the party is at Jesus's manger. That's really where the focus is. And I guess if Jesus would have sent out Christmas party invitations, maybe they would have said that. Party my manger, be there. But whatever it was, that's where the focus really should be. And of course, Jesus didn't send out invitations, but everybody responded in one of two ways. And tonight, we're going to look at a couple of those ways. Because tonight, we're going to see how two groups responded, how most of the world responded to Christ, and also how the shepherds responded to Christ. The shepherds don't get a lot of action in the story about Christ, but they're really cool dudes, and I'm going to introduce you to them tonight. So tonight, I'm going to challenge you guys to really think about your response. As we come up on Christmas time, how are you responding to this whole thing, this birthday party for Jesus? Because really, that's what it's all about. I've asked a few leaders to come up here and share, and they're going to come up here right now. And if you guys will open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, they're going to read the text for us tonight. The leaders, come on up here. There we go. Okay. I knew there were more coming. This is AJ, if you guys don't know AJ.
Hi, guys.
There he is.
Hi, guys.
Okay.
I'm AJ.
Start us off, buddy.
Okay. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken for the entire Roman world. And everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to marry to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth be peace to all men on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see these things that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. How many of you guys have read that story like 1,000 times before? Yeah? Okay. A lot of you, maybe your family reads that at Christmas time. That's awesome. Let me ask you guys, before we dive in today, a little bit, I guess a few trivia questions about Christmas. You ready for this? Okay. When, we'll start real easy, okay? First question, when was Jesus born? December 25th. No. Does anybody know? July? May something? Here's the answer. We don't know.
I was right.
No one knows when Jesus was born. We picked the date, December 25th. That's probably not his real birthday. We had 1 in 365 chances, and I don't know if we got it. But we're pretty sure that that's not really the time, but it's the day that we celebrate. Here's the second question. Who rode the donkey to Bethlehem?
Jesus.
Who rode the donkey to Bethlehem? Mary? You guys think Mary? Let's see the answer. No one knows if there was even a donkey. If you've, we never read about a donkey just now, and all of the things that you will read in the New Testament, you're not going to read anything about a donkey or Mary riding in on one. But a lot of times, it is set up that way. You know, really, in reality, we don't even know if anyone even saw a donkey that night. So, sorry to ruin your hopes and dreams. How soon, here's another question, how soon do you think after arriving in Bethlehem did Mary give birth to Jesus? That's lame. Lamos. 5 minutes? 5 hours? Same thing. Nobody knows. Could have been days. Wow. Whoa. Okay. Could have been days. Could have been weeks. We really have no idea. Now, of course, when you read, it makes it sound like they got to Bethlehem and boom, out popped a baby. It's probably not really the way that happened, but it could have been days. It could have been weeks. Let me ask you another question. Were there angels present at Jesus' birth?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think?
Yes?
Yes. Who thinks yes? Who thinks no?
No one knows.
Let's see the answer. The Bible doesn't say. You were wrong. No, you were wrong. Okay, here's the fifth one. Did the wise men meet the shepherds?
No one knows.
Okay, for real, for real. Did the wise men meet the shepherds?
Yes.
Who says yes? The wise men met the shepherds. Who says no? Here's the answer. No. No. Wow. Okay, my ear's bleeding now. Actually, the wise men probably didn't come for at least a year or maybe 2 years after Jesus' birth. Do some research. Okay, so here's the deal. I don't know how many of you like felt real comfortable with those answers, but a lot of that stuff is stuff that we just assume about the Christmas story. And really what it goes to show is that there are a lot of assumptions that are made about Christmas and the whole story revolving around Christ. And we're going to look tonight at two groups of people and how they responded to the idea of Jesus being born. The first group, most of the world said this: there's nothing special going on. I want you guys to look at Luke chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all, verse 3, all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. So let me set the scene here. People are traveling from all over the place to go to their hometowns right around this time of Jesus' birth. That sounds pretty similar to us, doesn't it? We travel all the time. The roads are busy with travelers. Hotels are full, all of this stuff. Now, keep in mind that in the Bible times, people didn't just travel for fun. You couldn't just jump on an airplane. You couldn't call a taxi. It was a lot harder. People had to walk or ride an animal or something like that. And it was much harder when you were 8 to 9 months pregnant, right? That would have made this journey much more challenging. Now, let me help you understand what Mary and Joseph were up against. They had to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That's a total of 80 miles, okay? 80 miles. Now, they figured it out. They've done some calculations, and they say that if they were traveling by donkey, which many people believe they might have been, a donkey normally could travel about 25 miles a day. So it would have taken them over 3 days to get from one city to the next if they were traveling at the rate that a donkey would go at. Now, if they were traveling by foot, they can travel about 16 miles a day. So it would have taken them closer to 5 days to travel from one city to the next. Okay? That's a lot of traveling. Now, maybe they did have a donkey. We don't know for sure. It never says. Maybe they did. Probably if they did, they only owned one. They were pretty poor. And if they only owned one, who do you think probably rode it? Probably Mary, right? Probably Mary, although in the culture, normally the man would have ridden it, but I don't think Joseph would have made his 8-month pregnant wife walk 80 miles for 5 days. I don't think he would have done that. I believe that it probably took them from one city to the next about 5 days. Now just imagine walking from here 80 miles for 5 days. That would be about the same distance as if you walked from Albuquerque to the city of Española. Over 5 days, 80 miles. That's a lot of walking. And that's what they were up against. And they were going because they were about to celebrate a birthday party, right? Well, I read about some birthday parties, actually, that have gotten a little bit out of control. I found out, how many of you guys have heard of FAO Schwartz? Have you guys heard of that toy store? Okay. You can actually rent out the toy store. It's a world famous 3-story toy store in New York. You can rent it out for you and 14 friends. It includes live performances. It includes $100 gift cards for you and all your friends who you invite, a scavenger hunt, and it'll only cost you $38,000 to rent the whole thing out for your birthday party. Stop yelling, okay? Thank you. I read about one guy. He goes by the title, the Sultan of Brunei. Okay, I have no idea where that is or really who this guy is, but he lays claim to the most expensive birthday party ever. You ready for this? $27.2 million spent at his 50th birthday party. Can you Can you believe that? On champagne, caviar, and then the worst, most frightening part of the night, he flew Michael Jackson out for three performances and paid him $16 million to show up at his birthday party. $27.2 million spent on his 50th birthday party. I guess he just turned 60, but I guess he didn't spend as much this time. Birthday parties have gotten a little bit out of control. And, you know, those are cool parties and all, but Jesus' birthday party was the birthday. This was it. There was no champagne, there was no caviar, there was no toy stores, there was none of that. This was the Savior of the world being born. This was the birth. And how did people respond? Most of them said, there's nothing special going on. It's no big deal. In fact, according to verse 7, the town was so busy that we read in verse 7, there was no room for them in the inn. You guys have heard that said a lot of times around Christmas time. No room for them in the inn. That word for inn, it's interesting when you look at what it originally meant. It means a temporary structure that was set up to house extra people. So a lot of people think that what it's saying here is they went to the normal places that they would stay. They couldn't stay there. They went to the inns, these temporary structures that were set up, and even those were full. And so they had to find even somewhere else to stay. And this town was packed. There were so many people here. And so they were there in Bethlehem and surrounded by thousands and thousands of people, everybody rubbing shoulders, everybody frustrated because nobody could find a place to go. So where was Jesus born? Most of our nativity sets look like this, a little wooden barn type structure that doesn't look too bad for a nice little birth. But actually, a lot of people believe that Jesus was probably born in a cave. Can you believe that? A little cave probably made out of rock in the side of a mountain where a lot of people slept. They were there. They had to go to this hometown for this census. And many people believe that Mary and Joseph found a spot finally in a cave, probably still crowded with animals and people. And that's where she gave birth to Jesus. We sang that song, Silent Night, tonight, right? Great song. Probably not the most accurate, though. Because think about it. This is probably not a very silent night. We had thousands and thousands of people frustrated, angry, getting kicked out of places. No, I have no more room. You cannot stay here. There's animals. There's people. Everybody's upset. And there's no nurses to help with the birth. There's no hospital bed to put Jesus in. In fact, you read in verse 7 that they laid him in a manger. I don't know what you guys think a manger is. Again, our nativity sets don't always do a great job of it. This one actually looks pretty comfortable. It looks like it was made for Jesus. And there he was placed in it. Oh, it even has like a little blanket in there. And, you know, it looks like it's probably pretty comfortable. You know what a manger looks like? Let me show you a picture of a manger. It's a cold, hard, stone feeding trough. That's what a manger is. Probably before Jesus was laid in this thing, there was like a camel eating out of it, okay? That's how cold and hard and probably gross this thing was. They had nothing else. There was no other place to stay. They found themselves most likely in a cave with animals and people around, and she gave birth, and thankfully they had what they called swaddling cloths that they wrapped him up in real tight so he'd stay warm and healthy, and they put him in this animal feeding trough. That's the closest thing that they could find. And, you know, it really goes to show what a lot of people thought about Jesus. You know, that's where he belongs. And really, if we're honest, that's what a lot of our world still thinks about Jesus. No big deal. You know, just kind of shove him over to the side. I'm busy going about my life, and I have a lot to do. You know, you guys have probably seen signs. Instead of saying Christmas, it says Xmas, you know. I always hate when I see those, but actually it's pretty accurate because most people have really taken Christ out of Christmas. And it's really no longer a birthday party for Jesus. It's really no longer a celebration of God becoming one of us. but it's all about us. That's what Christmas has become. And so people are hurrying around and they're minding their own business and they're focused on themselves without thinking about Jesus. And their reaction is very similar to this. There's nothing important going on. No big deal. Well, thankfully, not everybody reacted that way. Look again at verse 8. Now, in the same country, shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So the angels knew where the party was. It was in the manger. That's where the focus belonged that night. We're about to see, as we look at this next group of people, a huge contrast between how people responded or didn't respond to the birth of Christ. Check out the shepherds. Look at verse 15. "So it was when the angels had gone away from them," the shepherds, "into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Verse 20. "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." So here's the second reaction. Drop everything and run. I love that they responded this way. The first group said there's nothing special going on. The shepherds said, "Let's drop everything and let's run to where the party's really at." And so they sought out Jesus. These guys knew where the party was. They didn't go to a mansion. They didn't rent out a toy store. They didn't pay a bunch of money or jump in a limo. They went to a small, crowded, smelly cave to see the Savior of the universe. And there he was in this little, cold, hard, cramped feeding trough. There was our Savior. The Savior had been born. And because of that, they didn't care any longer about their sheep. They didn't care anything about anything else. They dropped everything and they ran to see the Savior. That's what it was all about. You know, it's interesting, actually, when you read a little bit into this, when you look into this scene, it's interesting to think of one thing that Mary missed out on. Normally, when a baby boy was born, there was a huge celebration that went on. In fact, earlier on in Matthew chapter one, or I'm sorry, in Luke chapter one, you can read about the birth of a baby boy, and there was huge celebration. The family, the friends were there. In fact, a lot of times, even local musicians would come, and they would play songs. When it was announced, it's a baby boy, the musicians would break out in song. It was this huge festival and celebration. Now, on a little side note, not to diss on the ladies, but in the Bible times, I found this kind of interesting. When they would be all gathered around and they'd hold up the baby and they'd say, "It's a boy," or "It's a girl." If it was a boy, a party broke out and they got all stoked and the music started playing. That I read this today, okay? When it was a girl, they said, "It's a girl." And all of the musicians quickly left. No music. Can you believe that? How sad is that? I had a little baby girl, and I was pretty excited about it. But apparently in the culture, they didn't get too stoked about the chicks. So I'm sorry about that. But, you know, think about what Mary missed out on here. She just gave birth to this little baby boy, and it was only her and Joseph there to celebrate. Some animals and a bunch of strangers. There were no friends. Just her and Joseph, no musicians. But let me remind you that all of heaven was rejoicing when this happened. This was a party. Jesus just got the coolest announcement that has ever happened. The angels appeared to these shepherds, angels from heaven. They appear to these shepherds and they begin proclaiming how great it is that the Savior has been born. My daughter, you know, we were excited about her, but she didn't get near as cool of an announcement as that, you know. No angels showed up. All that happened with her was like some blurry cell phone pictures. And I remember I called my dad at like 2:30 in the morning. Hey, Dad, you should probably wake up and get down here. Your granddaughter's about to be born. And he was all, oh, okay, I'll be right down there. And he came in and his hair was all like standing up. And that was kind of like the main announcement. You know, of course, we were excited. And right when she started crying, everybody standing out in the hallway started yelling and clapping and hugging and kissing. And, you know, it was like this nice little festival in the hall. But it was nothing like angels. This is crazy. These angels show up and announce the birth of Christ like no birth has ever been announced before. So what did the shepherds do? Verse 9, they were greatly afraid. Well, yeah, I would have been too, you know? I mean, can you picture the scene? I like to think of it probably dark. I don't know for sure. It could have been in the middle of the day. But, you know, I normally think of it dark and just kind of like a couple shepherds sitting around and one guy looks at the other guy like, hey, Earl, your sheep just fell over. You know, like they got nothing going on. They're just kind of like sitting out there in the field. And boom, the angels appear, right? And this angel just shows up and it says the glory of God is surrounding him. And it says they were greatly afraid. Yeah, probably. What would you have done? Bust out some karate moves, you know? Or like just drop to the fetal position or something. I would have been pretty scared too. But here are these angels. And actually, literally, when you read that phrase, they were very afraid, it literally means they feared with great fear. Okay? These guys were really, really scared. And so they freaked out. But the fear didn't last long because the angel told them, you don't need to be afraid. Let me tell you why I'm here. I have good tidings of great joy. Peace, joy, everything's going to be awesome. The Savior has been born. And their reaction, I think, is just what Jesus was looking for. We just read it in verses 15 and 16. They basically say, let's drop everything and run. Let's go. Let's check this thing out. And they didn't even stop at seeing it. Because later on in verse 20, it says that they told everybody. They ran everywhere and they began telling everybody and everybody was amazed at what happened. I think it's pretty amazing that angels came to shepherds. I mean, they could have gone to anybody. They should have, in my opinion, gone to the kings and made their announcement there. Or at least to like some well-known people who could have gotten the word out a little quicker than some shepherds. Shepherds were nobodies in this day. These were the Joe Schmoes, okay? Nobody knew shepherds. Nobody cared about shepherds. They were looked down on. They were dirty because they just lived out with sheep all day long. They didn't get to shower a lot. They couldn't fulfill all of the cleansing ritual ceremonies that the Jews did. And so they were looked down on by even the spiritual people. They had hard jobs. They had sleepless nights. They had extreme temperatures. They had to fight off wild animals. I mean, these guys had really, really hard jobs, and they were dirty, and they were looked down on. So why was it that these angels came to them? You know, I think it's really interesting that they did. And I also think it's really interesting where these shepherds were taking care of their sheep. It says that they were near Bethlehem. Why is that interesting? Because near Bethlehem, there was a flock of sheep. And many people agree it's probably this flock, that those were the sheep where the lambs were taken from that would be taken to the temple and sacrificed to cover sin. And why is that important? Well, because I find it really interesting that the very shepherds who watched over the little lambs who were slain to cover sin were the first to hear about the lamb, the one lamb, who would eventually be slain to take away all sin. And I find that so cool that God had a plan and God selected these people, even though they were looked down on, even though they were dirty, he knew how they'd respond. And they responded the way that I believe he wants us to respond. And I love that he is introduced as our Savior. That's the first thing that they say about him. Verse 11, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. They could have said a bunch of other things. There was born to you today in the city of David a great teacher. Because he was, you know. There was born to you today in the city of David a great example to follow after. There was born to you today in the city of David a great man. No. They don't say any of that. They didn't introduce him as a king. They didn't introduce him as royalty. They said he is the Savior, implying that they needed to be saved from something. So let me just say this. Some of you may need to do a little renovation on your nativity set this year, you know? Like, I don't know if there were angels there, and the wise men didn't meet the shepherds, so if you have a shepherd, you may want to separate them. We don't know if there was a donkey, although there probably was. If they were in a cave, you might want to just start, you know, go home, grab some of the pieces, probably ask your mom about this, but if they were in a cave, you might want to just like pound a hole in your wall, you know, that'll give it more of a cave effect, and start placing some things in there, you know. You know, of course, again, separate the wise men and the shepherds, get the angels out of there, you know, because we don't know if they were there. We only read about them in the field. Most likely there was a little fire going on inside, so I don't know, start burning something, I guess. Although be careful if it's in your wall. You might want to, again, ask about that. Jesus was probably not laid on a little bed made for him, okay? He was probably laid on like a rock, so you could just like get a rock and lay baby Jesus on there. Hopefully it doesn't roll off. You know, and actually, I brought some other things you can add. I didn't have a lot of farm animals, but Emery has some bath toys. So you could like add a bunch of animals, because there were probably a lot of animals around. A dolphin, I don't know if there were dolphins, but actually I'm pretty sure there weren't. Ducks, a giraffe, a horse. This is actually, although it looks crazy, I also brought Lego men because I didn't have anybody else. So I guess they're all just laying there. But you get the idea. It was very crowded. It was probably more like this. And it wasn't very comfortable. And Jesus was in there somewhere. And it was tight and it was cramped. And it probably smelled really bad. And there were animals everywhere. And people were frustrated. And I know this looks crazy, but it was a crazy scene. And you need to understand that. This was not just some, you know, perfect setting for little baby Jesus to be born. He came in the most humble possible way God could have ever come. This was he deserved so much more. And here we have little baby Jesus. He's somewhere in here, I'm sure of it. Here he is, wrapped up in his swaddling cloths, and he looks so peaceful. You know, I'm sure he came out screaming just like every other baby did. Because Jesus came, and he felt what we feel, and he went through many of the same things that we went through. I want you guys to think of the fact that God wrapped himself in skin, came to earth. His mother gave birth to him. He was wrapped in these cloths, laid on a cold stone feeding trough, surrounded by a bunch of animals. And that was God's plan to save all of mankind. Because Jesus, again, he did not come to live a good life. He did not come to be a great teacher. He did not come to set an example. Although he did do all of those things, those were not his main purposes. His main purpose was to come to die. That's why Jesus did this. And so maybe, you know, I don't know if this is going to be an effective way of changing your view on all of this. Probably not. Your mom's probably not really going to like that. But maybe what we really need to do is change our view on the whole of Christmas. What it's all about. Why do we do this? And why, you know, next Thursday are we going to open up gifts and go crazy and get stressed out and then the next day go dump all kinds of money in the malls and all of this stuff. I'm not saying any of that's bad, but where's our focus in the middle of all of it? Jesus came as the most humble way that he could ever come. And he came because he wanted you to spend eternity with him. And so maybe we all need to just spend a moment refocusing. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you guys 1 minute. Just real quick, 1 minute. I want you guys to just right where you're at, pray to the Lord. I'm going to give you guys just a minute. Maybe there's something you need to confess to him. Maybe you just need to say, God, I've already gotten my focus off of where it should be. And tonight I want to refocus. Whatever it is, I want you guys to do that for just 1 minute. And then I'm going to close this in prayer. All right? So let's take 1 minute. Go for it. Jesus, we thank you for coming in the most humble way that you could have come. You deserved to be born in a mansion and wrapped in royal purple clothing, and immediately when you were laid down on a soft bed, have a golden crown put on your head. But we know none of it was actually like that. And Jesus, you came in humility because you loved us. And tonight, and over this Christmas season, I pray that our focus would be on that, that we would refocus and remember why you came, because you loved us. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great night, and don't forget next Wednesday, No Velocity.